This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by the Audio Journal. Thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. My name is Adam, and if you're looking for something to do this weekend, well, you've come to the right place. Over the next hour, we'll be making our way through a myriad of things, a plethora of options, a gaggle of possibilities, all of which you can do this weekend right here in Worcester County. So grab a seat, get comfy, and get ready, because this is Weekend Update. Welcome to Weekend Update, welcome to July, and welcome to the halfway point of 2026, which officially rings in at 12 noon on July the 2nd. Not only is the summer flying by, but so is the year. It's hard enough trying to wrap your head around the fact that it's already July, but try wrapping your head around the fact that half of the year is already behind us. It just boggles the mind how fast we got to this point. It's crazy. Here's something else that's crazy. The 4th of July and our nation's 250th birthday. It's here. It's this very weekend, and we've spent the last few weeks here at Weekend Update getting ready for it. We talked about the Pine Tree Riot in New Hampshire, the Gaspee Affair in Rhode Island, and even an uprising right here in Worcester. All of these things happened before the Boston Tea Party, and all of them were directly influential in the creation of the Declaration of Independence. Last week, we talked about the history of fireworks, where they came from, why they were invented, and who invented them. In that vein, and also in the vein of the 4th of July, we have some more fireworks coming up in central Massachusetts. And we'll be talking about those a little bit later on in the program. And if you happen to get a little bit overheated at a fireworks show, and that's definitely a possibility, what with this heat wave that we're stuck in, 100-degree temperatures, really, is that necessary? I don't think so. But if you happen to get a little overheated, well, B. Arthur has a solution for that. We'll tell you what it is a little bit later on in the program. So make sure you stick around for those two things. Now, one of the things we talked about last week was the Europeans' prevalence for setting off fireworks at any and all occasions. They were deeply obsessed with them. And any occasion, no matter how big or how small it was considered an occasion to set off fireworks. So, for example, in France, then-monarch Louis XV used elaborate fireworks displays to commemorate seemingly any event that merited even a hint of pomp and circumstance. Massive fireworks displays celebrated the 1739 marriage of Madame la Première of France and Don Philippe of Spain. Fireworks were also set off in celebration of the capture of the Chateau Grand in 1745 and Ypres in 1747, among others. So they really used fireworks for pretty much anything and everything they could think of. All of Louis XV's displays were created by the king's official pyrotechnicians, the Ruggieri brothers, who we talked about last week. They were instrumental in creating elaborate fireworks displays and inventing effects to go with them. Moving effects, unique shapes, and the quick-match fuse used to light multiple rockets at the same time, those were all invented by the Ruggieri brothers. Not only that, those effects are still used today. Not only that, the company that the Ruggieri brothers created is still in existence today, and they are still putting on fireworks displays to this day. Unfortunately, one of the displays that the Ruggieri brothers created led to what is considered the worst firework disaster in the world in terms of the number of deaths. Fortunately, the Ruggieri brothers were never blamed for the accident. You see, it wasn't the fireworks that caused the deaths. It was what happened because of them that did. The date was May 30th, 1770, and the occasion was a wedding. Perfect opportunity to set off fireworks, right? And this particular wedding was no exception to that rule. This was the wedding of Marie Antoinette and the Dauphin, who would later come to be known as Louis the 16th. This was a big deal, one that required a big celebration, complete with fireworks, and the Ruggieri brothers were more than happy to oblige. Author Henry Sutherland, in his History of Paris, called Old and New Paris, Its History, Its People, and Its Places, published in 1893, provides a vivid description of what happened. Henry writes, "All was going well when suddenly a gust of wind blew down among the crowd some rockets only partially exploded. Fireworks, like so many inventions of Italian origin, were still, to the mass of the French public, a comparative novelty. And this, together with the positive inconvenience and even danger of a fall of blazing missiles in the midst of thousands of excited and closely packed spectators, was quite enough to account for the terrible confusion resulting in many hundreds of fatal accidents which now ensued. A panic settled amongst the crowd, who began a rush towards the Rue Royale in an effort to get away from the fireworks. The Rue Royale was a very narrow street, and as the crowd pushed and shoved its way down it, many people were trampled, with many suffering injuries and others losing their lives. The official government death toll was listed as 133, but many people thought this was a huge underestimation of the true number of casualties. They just didn't buy that number, 133. Henry Sutherland writes, "I know many persons who 30 months after these frightful scenes still bore the marks of objects which had been crushed into them. Some lingered on for 10 years and then died. I may say without exaggeration that in the general panic and crush, more than 1,200 unfortunate persons lost their lives. One entire family disappeared, and there was scarcely a household which had not to lament the death of a relative or a friend. Other much higher death tolls began to circulate in the decade after the tragedy. Galignani's New Paris Guide, or Stranger's Companion Through the French Metropolis, published in 1839, lists the death toll at 3,000. The New International Encyclopedia entry for the Place de la Concorde in 1917 also lists 3,000 as the death toll. Regardless of the true total, even the official government death toll at 133 makes this incident the deadliest fireworks accident in history." Surprisingly, the Ruggieri brothers didn't receive much of the blame, if any at all, for the tragedy. Louis Gabriel Michaud's Biographie universelle ancienne et moderne, published in 1854, claims that Parisians held another man responsible, Armand Jérôme Bignon. Bignon was the prévôt des marchands de Paris, which is a position that's kind of like a city manager. He was responsible for the day-to-day operations of the city of Paris, including, of course, all of the celebrations that happened within the city. They weren't really expecting him to be punished, but that didn't mean that they liked him. In fact, quite the contrary. They hated his guts with a passion. So much so that 3 nights after the accident, when Bignon was spotted sitting in his box at the opera, disgusted Parisians made an anagram of his name. Ibi non rent damna gero. In other words, I do no good, I do harm. Fortunately, Parisians didn't have to put up with him for too long. 2 years later, on March 13, 1772, he died at the age of 60. As for the Ruggieri brothers, they and their business flourished. In fact, it was after the 1770 accident that one of the brothers, Claude Fortune, discovered the chemical combinations that would create fireworks of different colors. And the rest, as they say, is history. Even though the fireworks that will be set off this year for the 4th of July are not that much different from the ones developed by the Ruggieris in the 18th century, they are still incredibly dangerous. In the month surrounding July 4th, over 230 people a day go to the emergency room following a fireworks-related injury. In fact, the relaxing of fireworks bans in many states has actually increased the number of accidents in recent years. But there is one state, the only state in our United States, that has not relaxed its ban on fireworks. It is illegal in this state for anybody other than pyrotechnic professionals to set off fireworks. Any idea what that state is? I'll give you a hint. You're living in it. That's right, it's Massachusetts. Now, although we are all eager to follow John Adams' Independence Day celebration guidelines, remember that fireworks have been causing accidents for over 2 centuries. So please leave the pyrotechnics to the experts. It's a lot safer that way, and it'll make for a much, much more enjoyable show. Now, as we previously mentioned, we'll be talking about these fireworks shows a little bit later on in the program. For now, Mechanics Hall has 3 shows scheduled for the month of July, none of which are this weekend or even next week. The Hanover Theater for the Performing Arts Stage is also quiet this weekend. It's one of those weekends where there's not a whole heck of a lot going on, if you know what I mean. None of the theaters are doing anything this weekend. So we're going to skip the theater scene, and we're going to start with some summer concert series. Then we'll start with Pinecroft Dairy. These are held every weekend throughout the summer. This weekend is no exception. They've got 3 concerts coming up, starting Friday, July 3rd. And performing on Friday will be Damn Chick Singer. On Saturday, July 4th is Mitch Lutch. And on Sunday, July 5th, Eldon James and One-Eyed Cat Duo. All of these concerts are from 6 p.m. till 8 p.m. out on the lawn. Make sure you bring a lawn chair or a blanket so you have somewhere comfortable to sit while you enjoy the concert. Outside food and coolers are not allowed, so please leave those at home. But you are more than welcome to stop by the ice cream stand and grab something to eat for the concert. Pinecroft Dairy is located at 593 Prospect Street in West Boylston. If you have any questions or concerns for the folks at Pinecroft Dairy, you can give them a phone call at 508-853-0717. 508-853-0717. The town of Holden is also doing a summer concert series concert this weekend. It'll be on Sunday, July the 5th. From 6 p.m. until 8 p.m., a band called Riff Raff will be playing, and they play classic rock. The concert will happen at 1130 Main Street in Holden. Holden is also hosting a farmer's market next Tuesday, July the 7th, from 3 p.m. until 6 p.m. It will be held across from the Gale Free Library, and it is free to enter as well. The town of Clinton is hosting a summer concert series concert next Tuesday, July the 7th. Mike Mazzola will be performing from 6:30 until 8 p.m. If it rains next Tuesday, the rain date is scheduled for the very next day, Wednesday, July 8th, also from 6:30 until 8 p.m. Concerts are held in Central Park at 242 Church Street in Clinton. Attending the concerts will be a variety of food trucks, including The Taco Dude, Sterling Street Brewery, The Fountain, Wheat and Water, and Fran Flynn. All of those will be at the summer concert in Clinton. Sterling. The Sterling Summer Concert Series is on Wednesday, July the 8th, from 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. Performing that night will be Houston Bernard. And Houston will be performing at Memorial Park at 5 Main Street behind the fire station. Heading south to Hudson for their summer concert series, Larry B. and The Buzz will be performing on Wednesday, July the 8th from 6:30 until 8 p.m. at Wood Park at 65 Park Street in Hudson. Larry and his Buzz play the classics of the 60s and the 70s with popular hits by the Rolling Stones, The Animals, Love and Spoonful, Creedence Clearwater Revival, and many more. Joining Larry and his Buzz on site will be 2 food trucks, Lalo's Food Truck and an ice cream truck. Also in Hudson at Solucci Park, Mr. Vic will be singing, dancing, and playing instruments to your favorite songs on Thursday, July the 9th from 10 a.m. until 11 a.m. Solucci Park is located at 15 Houghton Street in Hudson. And last on our summer concert series, but by no means least, is the town of Auburn. Boys Gone Wild will be performing their tribute to 80s rock on Thursday, July the 9th from 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. at the Pappas Recreation Complex at 203 Packachog Street in Auburn. Our next stop is the city of Worcester, not for a summer concert series, but for a movie on the Common. Next Thursday, July the 9th, from 6 p.m. until 8:30 p.m., Zootopia 2 will be shown on the Worcester Common. Rookie cops Judy Hopps and Nick Wilde find themselves on a twisting trail of a great mystery when Gary DeSnake arrives in Zootopia and turns the animal metropolis upside down. To crack the case, Judy and Nick must go undercover to unexpected new parts of town where their growing partnership is tested like never before. Zootopia 2 is rated PG, and it runs 1 hour, 48 minutes. It stars the voice talents of Jennifer Goodwin, Jason Bateman, Kehui Kwan, Fortune Feimster, Andy Samberg, David Strathairn, Idris Elba, Shakira, who also sings a new song to go along with this movie, Patrick Warburton, Quinta Brunson, Danny Trejo, Bonnie Hunt, CM Punk from the WWE, and Joe Anoa'i, who you might know better as Roman Reigns from the WWE. Both of them are in the movie as well. Make sure you arrive early, as the first 100 attendees will receive free popcorn from Minuteman Kettle Corn, and the first 50 attendees will also receive a food and or drink voucher to use at one of the on-site food vendors. Refreshments can be purchased on-site at one of the many downtown restaurants that are around the common, or if you would like to bring your own snacks and drinks from home, you are more than welcome to do that too. Along with those snacks and drinks, make sure you bring along a lawn chair or a blanket so that you have somewhere comfortable to sit during the movie. Now, if you can't make it out to the common next Thursday to watch Zootopia 2, have no fear. It is also available to stream at any time on Disney Plus. After this, there is one more movie on the common scheduled for this summer. Told you it was going fast, didn't I? And it is Superman. This is the 2025 version, not the Christopher Reeve version. But it's not until August 13th, so we'll talk more about that when the time comes. Also in Worcester is the Out to Lunch Festival. This is the 16th year for the festival, which is always free and it's always open to the public. At the festival, there will be live music and performances, food trucks and local restaurants, a farmers market, local artists and crafters, community organizations and nonprofits, and much, much more. The next Out to Lunch Festival is scheduled for next Thursday, July the 8th, from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. on the Worcester Common. Performing next Thursday is a band called Brown Eyed Woman. Now, if you're a fan of The Grateful Dead and Jerry Garcia, you might recognize that as a song sung by the Dead. That means that this concert is indeed a tribute to The Grateful Dead, but with a twist. Brown Eyed Woman is the only all-female Grateful Dead tribute ensemble. Very cool. Again, the Out to Lunch Festival is being held on the Worcester Common Oval, and it is completely free to you. If you go, there are a variety of ways to get to the Common. If you happen to be close enough to walk, that would be your best bet. Another good option is the WRTA. Head on over to therta.com. therta.com to find the best bus route for you. If you are driving, you'll find plenty of parking in downtown Worcester, including on-street parking, parking garages, and parking lots, all located just steps away from the Common. The best garage to park in is the Pearl Elm Garage, located at 20 Pearl Street. Why? Well, for a very simple reason. If you are going to the Out to Lunch Festival, parking in this garage is free. Just pull a ticket as you enter the garage and then take that ticket with you to the main office in the garage, and a member of the staff there will validate it for you, and your parking stay is free. Now, I think I may have misspoke when I mentioned the date of the Out to Lunch Festival. I said it was on Thursday. It is not on Thursday. It is on Wednesday, July the 8th, and it is held every Wednesday until August the 26th, and the hours are 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. right on the Common. Time now to head out to the farm, specifically Berries and Blooms out in Holden. They are opening for the season this Sunday, July 5th. They have blueberries and raspberries ready for the picking, weather permitting, of course. You can pick them yourself or you can purchase them already picked for you. You can also purchase t-shirts and fresh grown vegetables like tomatoes, garlic, summer squash, and beans. Now, if you're going to pick them yourself, here's a few things you need to know about picking those blueberries and raspberries. There are over 13 varieties of blueberries and 5 varieties of raspberries for you to choose from. They will be weighed and you will be charged by the pound. You can sample them as you go. The farm wants you to be as happy as you can be with your blueberries and raspberries, so you are allowed to sample the berries as you pick them at no extra charge. Just don't eat too many or you'll get a tummy ache. I tell you this from experience. I had to learn my lesson the hard way. Once you get your berries home, keep them dry by storing them in the refrigerator in a breathable container lined with a paper towel. Do not, and this is a big do not wash them until you are ready to eat them, because moisture can and will cause mold to grow. Properly storing your berries can extend their shelf life for a few days and even up to a week. Make sure you pick out any moldy berries and toss them in the trash. You can also freeze your berries. Keep them as dry as possible before you freeze them. Otherwise, they'll stick together and you'll end up with one big berry instead of a bunch of little ones. So lay your berries on a flat tray or a cookie sheet and let them dry out completely before you freeze them. Then put the whole tray or cookie sheet of berries right into the freezer and leave it in there until the berries are frozen. At this point, you can transfer your berries to a zip-top bag, squeeze as much air out as you can, close it tightly, and store it in the freezer for up to 2 years. Now, if you're planning on baking with them, there is absolutely no need to thaw them. You can use them frozen right out of the freezer. Just make sure you toss them in a little bit of flour before they go into the batter. Otherwise, they will sink like a rock. If you are planning on purchasing anything at the farm, please note that they only accept cash and checks for payment. No credit and no debit cards, just cash and checks only. The farm is open every day from 8 a.m. until 1 p.m. until mid-August, when the hours change slightly. They have not announced those hours just yet, so stay tuned. The farm itself is fully handicapped accessible. They also have a berry picking hotline that you can and should call for the latest and greatest in berry picking conditions. That berry hotline is 774-502-9201. 774-502-9201. Berries and Blooms is located at 31 South Road in Holden. Turning next to the Samuel Slater Experience down in Webster for a one-of-a-kind 18th century magical performance. Step back into history for a one-of-a-kind experience of magic, illusion, and mystery. The Samuel Slater Experience will be hosting a historical magic show by award-winning Professor D.R. Schreiber, the historical conjurer. As the historical conjurer, Professor D.R. Schreiber evokes the spirit of early magical performances and brings parlor magic back to the public. In the 18th century, conjuring, as magic was called back then, emerged as a genuine art form and entertainment. Known as professors of natural philosophy, magicians would rent taverns, legitimate theaters, or even lecture halls for the exhibition and displays of legerdemain, necromancy, or what would today be called illusion and magic tricks. Top dollar will be paid by the citizens of Europe to see the latest discoveries in the science of natural philosophy presented by these conjurers. Today, Professor D.R. Schreiber presents an historic look at the beginnings of modern magic in his performances and exhibitions. Professor Schreiber leads his audiences on a stroll through the past centuries of conjuring entertainment. His unique presentations entertain while educating the audience about historical events, literary and cultural figures, and the science and art of conjuring. Professor Schreiber will be performing on Friday, July 3rd at 3 p.m. Tickets are $18.10 per person. Keep in mind, this ticket is only for the magic show, not the museum. If you would like to spend some time in the museum before the show, the last admission is at 2:30 p.m., so you won't be able to go after the show. That said, a visit to the museum typically takes about 90 minutes or so be sure to arrive by 1 p.m. at the latest so that you have enough time to enjoy everything that the museum has to offer. Also, keep in mind, the museum is not open on Saturday. It will reopen on Sunday. So, if you would like to spend some time in the museum before the show and then see the show as well, you can purchase a combination ticket. It costs $23.10 for seniors and $30.80 for adults. To purchase any of these options, you can head to SamuelSlaterExperience.org, SamuelSlaterExperience.org, or you can give them a phone call at 508-461-2955, 508-461-2955. The Samuel Slater Experience is located at 31 Ray Street in Webster. And that brings us to the 4th of July. We've got a bunch of festivities and fireworks coming up. And we'll start down in Old Sturbridge Village for Independence Day. Experience fife and drum music, cannon demonstration if the weather allows for it, performances, and a parade. Make a tri-corner hat, hear special readings of poetry and the Declaration of Independence, play games, marvel at the work of our skilled artisans and tradespeople, and much, much more. Also, while you're at Old Sturbridge Village, make sure you stop by the Richardson House, where costumed historians will be reproducing a unique 13-star flag based on a circa 1820 artifact in the Old Sturbridge Village Museum collection. All of this is happening on Saturday, July 4th from 9:30 until 5 p.m., and all of it is included in your general daytime admission. No extra ticket required. And you can purchase your general daytime admission when you get there. If you would like to purchase them ahead of time, you can do that as well by heading to www.osv.org. www.osv.org. While you are at that website, make sure you check out the full schedule of timed activities, as that will help you plan out your day. You can also pick up a guide and that same list when you get to Old Sturbridge Village. Turning next to Southbridge and the annual Leonid J. Lemire 4th of July Road Race. This is the longest running 4.9-mile road race in the country. The route takes a scenic course through the town of Southbridge. Runners pass all of the war memorials, the police station, and the fire station. The race starts and ends at the community center in Southbridge, which is new this year and is located at 153 Chestnut Street in Southbridge. Prizes include commemorative t-shirts for the first 200 finishers, age group awards, random prize drawings, and refreshments. As part of the race, there is a pasta dinner the night before on Friday, July 3rd, because every runner needs to load up with carbs before the big race. This race is being held in honor of Leonid J. Lemire, the Southbridge native who was killed at Pearl Harbor while serving on the battleship USS West Virginia. He was the first Southbridge resident casualty of World War II. All proceeds from this race go directly to the YMCA in Southbridge. For more information and to register for the race, you'll head to the following website. It's a little bit complicated, but it's the best that I could do. I did search to see if there was an easier way to get there, and there really isn't. So bear with me here. The website is runsignup.com/race/MA/Southbridge/Leonid J. Lemire Road Race. All one word. Leonid is spelled L-E-O-N-I-D-E, letter J, and the last name Lemire, L-E-M-I-R-E. IRE. So once again, that website from the beginning is runsignup.com/race/MA/Southbridge/Leonid J. Lemire Road Race. Here in Worcester, the Massachusetts Symphony Orchestra will be performing at Institute Park. This concert features the Massachusetts Symphony Orchestra, and it is a patriotic pops concert celebrating 75 years of the Massachusetts Symphony Orchestra's admission-free Institute Park concerts and the nation's 250th birthday. Music performed will be that of primarily American composers, including Bernstein, Copland, and Williams. The concert will conclude with Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture and marches from John Philip Sousa, including Stars and Stripes Forever, which will be performed during the course of the fireworks display. This happens at on Friday, July 3rd at 7:45 p.m. That's when the concert starts. Fireworks are due to start after the concert. If it happens to rain on Friday night, the concert will be pushed to its rain date, which is Sunday, July the 5th at 7:45 p.m. Again, the concert is at Institute Park in Worcester, and it is completely free. While we're in Worcester, a friendly reminder not to forget about the 4th of July Family Fest over at Polar Park on Saturday. We did talk about this last week in order to give you time to purchase your tickets online at a discounted price. There is still time to do this, by the way, by heading to www.polarpark.com/familyfest. If you don't make it to the website in time, you can always purchase your tickets when you get there. Keep in mind, though, they will be a few dollars more if you do that. www.polarpark.com/familyfest. And yes, there will be fireworks after the festival at Polar Park. Heading north to the town of Fitchburg for Civic Days. They've got a whole bunch of things going on for Civic Days, starting with a block party on Friday, July the 3rd, from 4 p.m. until 10 p.m. This is an exciting evening of food, live music, local vendors, family-friendly activities, and, of course, fireworks. Fireworks will be launched from the summit of Rollstone Hill at 9:30 p.m., and they can be enjoyed throughout the downtown block party. Then on a Saturday, as part of Civic Days, there is a 4th of July parade from 10 a.m. until noon. The parade will head from Summer Street to Main Street to the Upper Common in Fitchburg. There will be a sensory-friendly zone from St. Bernard's to Kane Street. Performing live on Friday at the block party from 4 until 6 p.m. is a band called Holdin' Back the 60s. The band is known for their classic 60s instrumentation and vocals, and will be covering 60s rock, British Invasion, and Motown hits. They will be performing in front of the Cellar on Boulder Drive. Also, as part of Fitchburg Civic Days, there is a duck race, a rubber duck race, that is, on July 11th, which is not this weekend, but the following weekend. And we'll tell you more about that next time. All of these events are free to attend, with the exception of the duck race. You can attend the duck race, but if you would like to participate in the duck race, race your own duck, you will need to purchase it. We'll go over all of that information next time. Turning next to the town of Grafton, they are doing a 4th of July parade as well. The doggy mayor of Grafton will be announced at the Common at 9:45 a.m. Saturday morning. The parade will arrive at the Common at 10 a.m. Now, I don't know if this means that the parade begins at 10 a.m. or it finishes at the Common at 10 a.m. It was not clear from the advertisement. What I do know is that the parade runs from North Street Elementary School to Oak Street. There is also a Grafton Farmers Market on Saturday that will open at 10:30 a.m. In the town of Harvard on Saturday, July 4th, they will have a viewing of antique cars. They'll be gathering at the library field starting at 9 a.m. There is a bike decorating contest with judging on the town common. The parade begins at 11 a.m. and it runs from Depot Road to the library field. And then welcoming remarks and ongoing field events at the library field from 12 noon on. There is no entry fee for any of these events. They are all free. However, there will be items and food available for purchase. Turning next to the town of Rutland, and that is our last stop for our fireworks and July 4th festivities. While the 4th of July fireworks and parade have unfortunately been canceled for this year, there is still one event coming up this weekend in Rutland, and that is a celebrity pancake breakfast on Saturday, July the 4th from 8 a.m. until 10 a.m. It is sponsored by the Friends of the Council on Aging and is being held at the Rutland Community Center on Glenwood Road in Rutland. There are a few more fireworks displays coming up after these, and we'll tell you more about those when the time comes. For now, it's time to talk about baseball. Your Worcester WooSox are in action starting next Tuesday, July the 7th at 6:45 p.m. against the visiting Rochester Red Wings. It is Tail Wagon Tuesday. It is also Town Takeover. At the game on Tuesday, they will be celebrating everything Shrewsbury. It is also Taco and Tequila Tuesday, so make sure you stop by the Nacho and Ice Cream Stand on the third base concourse for a whopping walking taco and a margarita for just $15. It is also AARP Ticket Tuesday. At every Tuesday game, folks who have a membership at AARP have two free tickets waiting for them. Simply show your membership card at the Gate D ticket office, and the two tickets will be yours. It is also Massachusetts Lottery State of Winning Night at the WooSox at Polar Park next Tuesday. Next Wednesday, July 8th, the WooSox will be taking on the visiting Rochester Red Wings. First pitch is scheduled for 6:45 p.m. It is National Grid First Responder Wednesday. As a friendly reminder, first responders can receive up to 4 WooSox general admission tickets by visiting the ticket office at Gate D or the ticket booth at Gate A with a first responder ID. It is also Los Huepas de Worcester. At Polar Park next Wednesday, they will be celebrating the countries of Argentina, Bolivia, Chile, Paraguay, and Uruguay. Those will all be celebrated at tonight's game next Wednesday. Next Thursday, your WooSox are in action against the Rochester Red Wings. It is July 9th at 6:45 p.m. Deuces Wild is in action. That means that every Thursday game, you can get 12-ounce drafts of Coors Light and Mass Hole Light Lager, hot dogs, and bottles of water, all just for $2 apiece. It is also Town Takeover. They will be celebrating everything of Fitchburg. That'll be a good way to start their Fitchburg Civic Days. And there's also a meet and greet at Thursday night's game. You can meet Dennis Oil Can Boyd in the Sherwood's Diner for photographs and autographs. After this, your WooSox have 3 more games next weekend, and then it's the All-Star Break, which this year takes place in the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. The team will then hit the road for 3 games in Scranton-Wilkes-Barre before returning home on July 21st. And we'll tell you more about those games when the time comes. For now, to purchase tickets for any WooSox home game, you have your usual options. You can head to www.milb.com/Worcester, www.polarpark.com. You can visit the box office if you happen to be in the neighborhood, and that neighborhood is 100 Madison Street. Or you could give the box office a good old-fashioned ringy-dingy at 508-500-1000. That's 508-500-1000. Your Worcester Bravehearts are also in action. Friday, July 3rd, they will be out in Norwich taking on the Sea Unicorns at 6:30 p.m. On Saturday, July 4th, they head north to the Vermont Lake Monsters. First pitch is scheduled for 1:05 p.m. They will be back home on Sunday, July the 5th, versus the visiting New Britain Bees. First pitch is scheduled for 4 p.m. The Bravehearts have a day off on Monday. They will be out at the Westfield Starfires on Tuesday, July 7th. First pitch is scheduled for 6:30 p.m. And Wednesday, they'll be up in Lowell taking on the Spinners at 7 p.m. And Thursday, they have another day off. After this, the Bravehearts will have two games next weekend, one at home and one away, Friday and Saturday, respectively. Then they'll have one more full week of games before the All-Star break, which we'll tell you more about when the time comes. For now, season tickets, flex packs, and single game tickets, those are all on sale. To purchase any of those options, head on over to www.WorcesterBraveheartsStore.com, www.WorcesterBraveheartsStore.com, or you can give them a phone call at 508-438-3773. 508-438-3773. All right, heading next to Wilson Bus Lines. They've got a couple of day tours coming up over the course of the next week or so. And these are all cruises, including one that we actually talked about last week. But this would be an easier way to do it because you've got the bus ride included. This is the Northfield Scenic River Cruise. They're doing this one next Wednesday, July the 8th. Climb aboard Northfield's scenic riverboat, The Heritage, to enjoy a relaxing, narrated 90-minute river tour. Take in the picturesque sights and fascinating history of New England's great river, the Connecticut River. The Heritage will make a 12-mile round trip through the enchanting French King Gorge and onto historic Barton Cove, home to nesting bald eagles and the site of a former dinosaur track quarry. The French King Gorge is one of the most scenic stretches of the river. An onboard interpreter will narrate the cruise, offering information on the culture, habitats, and natural history of this spectacular stretch of river. Make sure you bring your binoculars and dress in layers for this tour. Please wear sunscreen and a hat as well to protect yourself from that sun. After the cruise, head to Bernardston for a delicious lunch at the Farm Table Restaurant. We'll start with a salad. You can choose between Farm Table, a hamburger with cheddar cheese, caramelized onions, dill pickle aioli, served with French fries. You also have a choice of chicken Caesar salad with croutons, parmesan, and Caesar dressing, grilled shrimp wrap with lettuce, tomato, also served with French fries, or you can go with the Farm Table macaroni and cheese made with cheddar, Gruyere, and Gouda cheeses, topped with herb breadcrumbs and served with French fries. I don't know if you need French fries on the side of your three cheese macaroni and cheese. For dessert, we will enjoy an assorted dessert buffet. All meals come with soft drinks, iced tea, and lemonade. Next, we will visit the Magic Wings Butterfly Conservatory in Deerfield, which consists of an 18,400-square-foot facility that includes an 8,000-square-foot glass conservatory filled with butterflies, moths, and tropical vegetation. Once you enter the double doors, your first glimpse is one of awe. Approximately 3,000 butterflies of all colors, shapes, sizes, and varieties go dancing past. Attendants are scattered throughout the conservatory, waiting to help you identify the many different butterflies. Enjoy the koi pond or sit and relax at any park bench along the paths. The sun shines through the glass walls and heats up the conservatory to an 80-degree tropical-like environment all year round. After your visit with the butterflies, you will have time to browse the gift shop or grab a cold drink or a snack for the ride home. This tour departs, the Lemonster Friendlies at 8:30 a.m., East Templeton Main Office at 9 a.m., and the Athol Hobby Lobby at 9:30. Returning to the Athol Hobby Lobby at 5:30 p.m., Lemonster Friendlies at 6 p.m., and the East Templeton Main Office at 6:30. The price for this tour, which is the cruise on the Connecticut River, lunch at the Farm Table Restaurant, and a visit to the Magic Wings Butterfly Conservatory, is $154. The next cruise is in Boston. This is for the Boston Tall Ships 250, And it is on Sunday, July 12th. There are actually a variety of cruises that they are doing. The first one on July 12th is a on board the Spirit of Boston, and it is a buffet cruise. This year marks the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, a historic milestone in our nation's story. Sail 250, part of the America 250 commemoration, celebrates 250 years of American independence with an extraordinary maritime tribute. In honor of this momentous occasion, a fleet of the world's most magnificent international tall ships and military vessels will gather in an epic peacetime assembly, sailing into the port of Boston as part of Sail 250. This rare and breathtaking spectacle will welcome crews, cadets, and visitors from around the globe for an unforgettable world-class maritime celebration. Experience it all from the best seat on the water on board the Spirit of Boston. Enjoy front row views of the tall ships from this stunning four-level dining vessel featuring three climate-controlled interior decks and two open-air observation decks for panoramic harbor views. Your experience creates the perfect combination of celebration, history, and fun. Enjoy a delicious lunch buffet with Greek salad, summer berry and farro salad, sun-dried tomato pasta salad, spring garlic cream pasta, birria-style chicken, citrus herb roasted salmon, Caribbean jerk braised pork, Mexican elote-style corn, roasted tricolor potatoes, roasted summer vegetables, which include cauliflower, zucchini, yellow squash, red pepper, and herbs and spices. And for dessert, a signature dessert station with individual desserts and seasonal fruit. After the cruise, you will have time on your own to explore the surrounding area and see the tall ships from land. So, the itinerary for the day, which is just a rough itinerary, it is subject to change, but they've got it set up like this. Depart East Templeton at 7 a.m. Depart Leominster Friendlies at 7:30 a.m. You will arrive at Rose Wharf in Boston at around 9 a.m. Boarding for the Spirit of Boston begins at 9:30 a.m. The boat will shove off, as they say in the nautical world, at 10:30 a.m. for a two-hour buffet cruise. That means it'll return back to port in Rose Wharf at 12:30, after which you'll have about 3 hours on your own. They ask that you kindly meet back at Rose Wharf at 4 p.m., as you'll be departing Boston at 4:15. Returning to the Leominster Friendlies at 5:30 and the East Templeton main office at 6 p.m. The price for this cruise is $173. Also on Sunday, July 12th, is a cruise on board the Valiant, but this time lunch will be at the Cheesecake Factory. So you'll depart East Templeton at 6:30 in the morning, depart Leominster Friendlies at 7 a.m. You'll be arriving at Rose Wharf at around 9 a.m. Boarding begins at 9:15 with the boat departing at 9:30 for a two-hour cruise, which means it'll be back at around 11:30. After that, you'll have roughly about an hour or so on your own before boarding the bus at 1:15 and heading out of Boston at 1:30. But not for home. You'll be making a stop at the Cheesecake Factory for lunch at 2 p.m. You will be able to order off an extensive prefixed menu with over 20 different entree choices, ranging from fish, pasta, pizza, burgers, and so much more. Your meal will include an entree, a non-alcoholic beverage, and of course, a slice of cheesecake. And you're going to want to save room for that cheesecake, because let me tell you, it is huge. And when I say huge, I mean it's like half of the cake that they give you. It is a huge piece. So please save room for the cheesecake. After lunch, you will return to the Leominster Friendlies at 5 p.m. and the East Templeton main office at 5:30. The price for this trip, which is a cruise on the Valiant and lunch at the Cheesecake Factory, is $165. On Monday, July 13th, there is another cruise on board the Valiant. The itinerary and the price are the same as the one we just mentioned, as is lunch at the Cheesecake Factory. Also on Monday, July 13th, is a cruise on board the Odyssey, and this one comes with a buffet for lunch. Enjoy a delicious lunch buffet with Caesar salad, Greek salad, roasted lemon herb chicken, citrus herb roasted salmon, roasted vegetable farfalle, farm fresh seasonal vegetables, roasted tricolor potatoes, signature dessert station with individual desserts and seasonal fruit. So you'll depart the East Templeton main office at 11 a.m., depart the Leominster Friendlies at 11:30. You'll arrive in Rose Wharf at 1 p.m. Boarding for the Odyssey begins at 1:30. The Odyssey will then depart at 2:30 for a two-hour buffet cruise. It will return at 4:30, after which you'll have roughly 3 hours or so on your own before boarding the bus at 6:30 and heading out of Boston at 6:45. You will then return to the Leominster Friendlies at 8:30 and the East Templeton main office at 9 p.m. The price for this tour, which is on board the Odyssey for a cruise and a buffet, a two-hour cruise and buffet, that is $173 per person. On Tuesday, July 14th, there is one more buffet cruise on board the Spirit of Boston. That's the very first boat that we talked about. It uses the same itinerary as the first one, and it costs $173 per person. There are more tours with Wilson Bus Lines in the month of July, and we'll get to those in due time. For now, to make a reservation for any of these tours, please call 978-632-3894. 978-632-3894. Now, earlier on in the program, I mentioned that B. Arthur had a way to beat the heat of the summer, and that is with a soup. Sophia Petrillo may have cooked up Italian classics on the Golden Girls, but in real life, B. Arthur was the one who loved to cook, particularly when it came to inventing meals. That was one of her favorite things to do. She liked to make up recipes using things like fresh dill. She would put it in things like a hearty lamb stew with plenty of fresh herbs from her own garden, which was another place she liked to spend a lot of time. She also liked to do quick things, too, like a fillet of sole done with butter and fresh mint and parsley and the dill that we just mentioned. She said that her only complaint is that she didn't have enough time to do all the cooking that she wanted to do. There was one dish, though, that she liked to make in the summer as a way to beat the heat, perhaps the heat of a heat wave like the one that we find ourselves stuck in the middle of. She would make a chilled carrot soup. Here is the recipe, which serves four people. You will need one medium onion. Go ahead and peel it and slice it. Doesn't have to be pretty. You'll need 2 tablespoons of butter. I always like to use unsalted butter because I like to control the amount of salt that goes into my dishes. But feel free, if you have salted butter, you can use that as well. 4 carrots, peel those and slice them, please. Again, they don't have to be pretty. We're going to blend everything up at the end anyway. 1 stalk of celery with the leaves. A lot of people forget about those leaves. Those have incredible flavor, so please don't throw those out. 2 cups of chicken stock. You can use homemade or store-bought. Either or the other will do nicely. Salt and pepper to taste. And 3/4 cup of half and half. You could also use light cream, milk, or a combination of the two. What I wouldn't use is heavy cream or whipping cream because I feel that those two are just too heavy for this soup. This is a light summer soup, after all. You don't want to weigh it down with heavy cream. You also need a little bit of fresh dill or parsley for garnish at the end. So, to make the soup, first thing is to sauté your onion in butter until it is limp. Then add your carrots, your celery, and the chicken stock. Cover it and simmer for about 15 minutes or so. Then transfer the contents of the pot to an electric blender. Please be careful doing this, as the soup is hot and it can burn. So let the soup cool down a little bit before you transfer it to the blender. Once it is safely in the blender, add a little bit of salt and pepper to taste and whirl it for a few seconds. Please make sure it's covered, otherwise the soup will end up in places you didn't know it could. Uncover the container of the blender and add the half and half, or the cream, or the milk, whichever one you're using, and whirl one more time until it is smooth. Let it chill fully in the refrigerator before you serve it. Also, before you serve it, give it one more taste and adjust your seasonings as needed. It's going to taste a whole lot different cold than it did warm. So give it a quick taste and adjust if you need to. You can also garnish your soup if you'd like with a little bit of fresh dill or parsley if you happen to have it on hand. You could also use dry dill or parsley. Those two will work nicely as well. Then serve your soup in your favorite soup bowl of choice and enjoy. Well, there's that familiar tune again, and you know what that means. It means that our time together has come to an end. Next week, we are busting some myths. We'll tell you where dinosaurs still roamed the earth and how many senses you have. And I'll give you a hint. It's not five. Any ideas? Well, tune in next week to find out if you're right. Until then, thanks for hanging out with me for the past hour. It is always appreciated and always a pleasure. Have a great rest of your day. Get out and do something fun. Head to a summer concert, watch a movie downtown on the common, go out to lunch, pick some berries, cool off with Bea Arthur and her soup, and most importantly, ring in the 4th of July and our nation's 250th birthday by heading to a fireworks display or celebration. Happy 4th of July and happy 250th birthday to the United States. You could put 250 candles on the birthday cake, but I think fireworks are a little more practical, if you know what I mean. Have a safe, happy, and spectacular 4th of July, and I'll see you next time on Weekend Update. Weekend Update has been a production of the Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Programming is funded in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or in Braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or you can always go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, your iPad, or your Android device. If you know of an upcoming event or you have a question or a suggestion or a comment about anything you've heard here, you can always reach me at weekendupdate@yahoo.com. My name is Adam. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great rest of your day. And join me again next week for another edition of Weekend Update.
Audio Journal is supported in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind. We are a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
This is Bird Note. Bird voices can vary tremendously. When you're learning to recognize birds by ear, it can help to have shared vocabulary to describe how they sound. For example, some birds have clear singing voices, like this American robin. The scarlet tanager's song holds a similar tune, but this bird sounds a little hoarse. The word nasal comes to mind when describing the call of a red-breasted nuthatch. While the brown-headed nuthatch comes off as squeaky. Other birds are so buzzy that they're easily mistaken for insects, like this grasshopper sparrow. Some birds sound almost mechanical, like the metallic song of the common grackle, and the simple clicking notes of a yellow rail. Then there are aficionados like song sparrows that mix and match tones in complex compositions. Learning to describe bird sounds will make it easier to figure out who's singing and to remember the voices of your favorite birds. For Bird Note, I'm Ariana Rummel.
Hey everybody, this is Bill Ruggiero on Audio Journal. and I'm a volunteer here, and I just want to wish everybody a very happy 4th of July from all of us at Audio Journal. But 4th of July means, you know, we have cookouts, fireworks, and stuff like that. And I just think that we should just have a fun 4th of July. From all of us at Audio Journal, happy 4th of July. And make sure that the fire department don't come to your house because you get hurt by fireworks.